Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 129-107 loss in Portland and their outburst that saw Steve Kerr get ejected. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, a highly charged game for the Warriors and the Blazers as they head into the All-Star break, and the Blazers take it to the Warriors in the end, 129-107, really outplaying Golden State there in the fourth quarter. Once they got to about the eight-minute mark, it was just all Blazers and a lot of heated discussions there. These two teams were really into it. Intensity, Steve Kerr gets ejected. So I don't know how you look at that going into the All-Star break. I mean, the one real positive is that at least the Warriors had won, 16 out of 17 coming in. So 16-2 going into the break. Still, you look at that and say, we're still playing really well going into the break.
Yeah, I don't worry about this game so much. I mean, if you were expecting a game where they're just going to cruise into the break and anticipate a few days in the Bahamas or something, you got something else, because it's the Blazers and the Warriors. The Blazers always get up for the Warriors, especially when they come to Portland. Those games are always lively. They're always intense. And, both teams are bringing it. So it was a very, very entertaining basketball game until the final 7 or 8 minutes when things kind of unraveled. And really, it's not too surprising when you consider the Warriors were playing 5 games in 8 nights, second night of a back-to-back. They were on an extended run of playing very good basketball, but they had rested 3 guys tonight, Livingston, Cousins, and Iguodala. And, they'd expend a lot of energy in getting some wins. They really had to work to beat Miami, the same with Utah. And so not surprising that their legs left them in the fourth quarter on their jump shots. They couldn't make anything, and they were outscored 35-12. And Portland had a lot of energy, especially because they had the full bench, and they have a good bench, and the bench won them this basketball game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they have a really good team overall, and certainly Seth Curry played really well. He had 11 points in the game, and he showed some really bright moments. And Steph Curry, his brother, for a while there was having a spectacular game. He ended up with 32, but it looked like to me, Ray, that he just totally ran out of gas, and most of the Warriors did there in the fourth quarter. And Klay Thompson just never really had it with his shooting. I mean, 2 of 16 from the field. He had some really nice passes and ended up with 8 assists, but he just never really got into it. So really it was Curry and Durant, and that was about it for the scoring.
Yeah, and they almost pulled this off, even though the score would not indicate it, without the third scoring option, because Durant and Curry were having such great nights. But again, the dead legs took over, and Klay often has good games in Portland, so that was a little bit surprising and disappointing for him. And really, they fall behind by 7, and then things start going awry, and that's when you kind of mentally check out. And, it was just add-on points after that. Kind of the 3 turning points for me. First of all, earlier in the game, Steph Curry goes up for a 3-point shot, gets the defender in the air, makes contact, and then he's got the ball in his left hand trying to shoot it. Now, that doesn't really matter.
Right.
But he doesn't get the 3 free throws. They call the foul on the floor. I think it was Derek Stafford on the call with that one. I thought that was, that happens sometimes. But, what made it worse was here's Lillard coming down the court the next trip, does the very same thing, and he gets the free throws. Okay. And then Steph comes down the floor again, He gets the body contact and goes up for the shot, but they don't give him the free throws on the shot. They give him the free throws because they were in the bonus. So at that point, Steph's just shaking his head. I mean, they give that call to Harden, all right? They give that call to Harden 9 times out of 8, okay? But they didn't give it to Steph. So there was frustration about that. Then the little back and forth between Klay Thompson and Zach Collins. And let me preface it by saying Zach Collins was a good pickup for Portland. He's been a good bench player for them. And you know, he's pretty rugged, and he likes to hit the boards, and he definitely fills a good role for them. But, you know, Klay was coming in, and he put a shoulder and an elbow into his chest, and he got called for the charging. Looked like he was going in for a layup, but that was the kind of night it was for Klay. And here comes Zach Collins, all of 21 years old, walking down the floor and jawing at Klay Thompson. So I guess Zach was a little upset because of the physical contact, or I don't know what the deal was, but he has physical contact all the time, not just from Klay Thompson. And, you know, he got a little full of himself. I mean, Zach Collins has done what in this league compared to Klay Thompson, right? But he's mouthing. I mean, listen, if you're his teammates, you're his coach, you like the fact that he's got that attitude, he's got that chip on his shoulder, he's got that edge. It seems to work to his advantage, at least most of the time. But in this case, he just looked like a punk. I mean, he's talking smack to on one play, in one good game, in one sequence, to a guy who's got a few rings up on him and a few All-Star game appearances up on him. It just looked disrespectful. I'm sure that made the Warriors even more angry. And, you know, nice job, Zach Collins. You feasted on a night that DeMarcus Cousins was in there. Nice going. You know, and having said that, I wouldn't mind having him on my team. You know, let's throw him in there with Cousins and Draymond. Let's just make it even more exciting. But it just from my point of view, it looked like disrespecting a player of much greater stature than Zach Collins. And then came Draymond Green. He fouled Collins trying to go to the basket, clearly going for the ball. And then they go and review, and Draymond was getting upset right then and there because I think he knew what was going to happen. Just the fact that they were even reviewing that for a flagrant foul shows you the bias that a lot of officials have against Draymond Green. He's done worse things that merited flagrants. That play was not one of them. And that, again, it demonstrates a bias, and I think Draymond knew once it was going to go to review how this was going to go, and he was going to get called for the flagrant. And then Steve Kerr went berserk and looked like Gordon Ramsay from Hell's Kitchen, slamming down his clipboard, and you know, I think in part trying to protect Draymond, but also, you know, trying to show that he's fighting for his player too. Even though it was a New York review, just the fact that the referees would review that for a flagrant, I thought was utterly ridiculous. And I was actually talking to my brother-in-law, my niece, about this earlier in the evening. How Draymond's reputation doesn't earn him any slack anymore. And this was a perfect example. And after that, it just absolutely unraveled.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was one of the worst flagrant calls I've ever seen because Draymond hit the ball first and then the body, but it's not like he knocked him down to the floor. I mean, there just wasn't anything flagrant about it. But the one thing that stands out to me, Ray, about that whole situation is that some would say that the Warriors became a little unglued right there. I mean, you got your coach getting ejected. You got everybody upset with Collins and, you know, I agree with you. That was disrespectful. In fact, I even think Damian Lillard said something to Collins as he was checking out of the game. Like, hey, you know, you can't go that crazy on the other team. You don't want them to get that fired up. And the Warriors definitely had players that were fired up at the Blazers in that game. Now, I don't know. I mean, sometimes that can work for you, but in this case, it worked against the Warriors, and maybe other teams could take note. I mean, you're trying to look for something to get at the Warriors because they've been so great for the last, you know, 4 years, going on 5 years, and especially this recent run. So maybe that's it. You know, try to get this team to be unglued a little bit.
Well, I suppose you try that if you can. But remember, this is a game before the All-Star break. These guys are ready to scatter to the four winds. And
yeah,
you know, I think it's a one-off in that regard. And plus, you had a whole set of circumstances that went against them, a couple of things, like we said, that were utterly ridiculous. And so, yeah, at that point, you just say, screw it. I'm ready to go fishing or go to the beach. You know, I'm not going to put up with this any longer. But I mean, if it comes to playoff time, the Warriors have been through these battles for years now. I think they will know how to handle it come playoff time. And I'm going to guess on that particular night, Klay Thompson won't be 2-for-16 again. So, you know, Portland is a good test for the Warriors. They always play them hard. They always play them tough. They always extend them. But you've got to remember, again, where we are on the schedule, the fact they were playing the fifth game in 8 nights. That played a lot into it as well, as they just, you know, they just, like you said, ran out of gas. They're on E by midway in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's going to have any bearing on what happens in April, May, or June.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's hear what Steve Kerr said after the Warriors' loss in Portland.
That was head-scratching. That could be called a flagrant foul. I mean, the guy's going to go in for a dunk. You got to make sure he doesn't dunk it. I told Kenny that I beg to differ.
Here's a little from Draymond Green after the Warriors game on Wednesday.
We got a lot of ball. I don't know. It's just Draymond rule. I knew they would look at it because they always look at like fouls with me, but whatever.
Steph Curry also talked to the media after the loss in Portland.
Obviously an emotional game. We fought really hard for 42 minutes, 43 minutes. One questionable decision on the flagrant. And obviously the fire came out. See coach go throw the clipboard. And at that point, he tried to get us over the hump. But the 8-point swing, it's tough to overcome for sure.
Coming up, more Dubs OT in just a moment.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandra Fell has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
The Warriors were playing without DeMarcus Cousins. You know, they're trying to limit him a little bit. He's looked really good, especially lately. Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, all sitting out this game. So you had two really valuable members of the bench, the veteran guys that were out, and all these other players getting playing time that normally have not been getting playing time. So it was really a different Warriors team. And I think, you know, before Cousins, you could see where a team could attack the Warriors inside, and you sort of saw that again. I mean, Nurkic had his way a little bit inside, and when it becomes a rugged game, that's where the Warriors definitely value having DeMarcus in there. And I think he's been a major part of this team. I think he's even exceeded expectations so far. What do you think?
Well, I think he's been terrific, considering what he's coming back from. It's such a devastating injury. And it takes time to, work up your basketball legs and get back into game shape. And so they're being pretty careful about that. And resting him tonight was part of the deal. And I think that'll serve him well going into the stretch run after the All-Star break. But I will say that, even when he's on the floor, and I saw this in Phoenix Friday night because we were at that game against the Suns. And, even when he's in there, there are problems against some big men like Ayton for the Suns, who I think is going to be a handful for a lot of teams in the coming years. He was beating Cousins down the floor, and he'd get behind him and get a lob pass, and Cousins just couldn't defend it. There are a couple of guys who have exploited him that way because he's just not quite as quick are able to jump as well as he used to. The skills are coming back for sure. And among other things, he's shown what a good passer he is. And, he can definitely be a presence on the boards and things like that. But he's played better than I thought he would, but not as well as I think he's capable of playing. And hopefully will show before the season's over.
Allow me for a second to compare him to Madison Bumgarner. And the reason I say that is the game that you went to in Phoenix, he was begging Steve Kerr to leave him in the game. It kind of reminded me of Bumgarner saying, hey, I'm not leaving this game. And that was kind of his attitude in that game. It's like, I want more minutes. I know you guys are trying to, make sure you treat me with kid gloves, but don't take me out. He went right up to Kerr. It was pretty funny in the huddle. And he just said, he's huddling up with his other assistant coaches there. And DeMarcus just poked his head in there and said, no, I don't want to come out of this game.
Yeah, I like that. I'm sure the coaching staff likes that too. I mean, the desire is there. The guy, plays with a lot of heart. There's no doubt about it. And he puts his heart on his sleeve sometimes. But, the ability isn't quite catching up with that desire just yet. And I think the Warriors are playing the long game here. So, great. I mean, they could have acceded to his request and played him a lot more minutes. But in the long run, is that going to work out to his benefit? And so I think you'll see him play more as we get toward the end of the schedule here. But, I mean, they brought in Looney, and I thought he played pretty well that night, especially in the fourth quarter. So it turned out to be a good move because he was having a rough night defensively, and it's going to happen from time to time. It'll come back to him. As time goes on, there's still a lot of games to play, a lot of minutes available out there. So I don't think he needs to worry about that. And as time goes on, he'll get more minutes per game. So, yeah, by the way, and that was a night that Draymond got ejected for something that was also ridiculous that I thought maybe the league might rescind. So, yeah, there you go. I mean, hopefully the minutes will be there for Draymond, too. He's running up close to that threshold to get suspended.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he's trying to, limit the number of technicals he gets and all that stuff. But once he gets into a game situation and the intensity is there, he's just going to be himself and he's going to get these technicals. And I mean, there's a lot of players who argue with officials, but now he's got the reputation and he's going to get fouls, like you said earlier, that maybe he shouldn't get or get a flagrant that he shouldn't get. And he's just not going to get the breaks that some other players will get, I think.
Yeah, I just hope that they rescind that flagrant because it's absolutely ridiculous that they were even reviewing it. But, Draymond can count, too. So he knows when he's going to get close to that level that would earn him a suspension. So he's going to be careful about that. And he's shown that in the postseason he can count as well. And he doesn't earn a suspension because of that. He'll be a little more restrained, a little more focused. But I think there's just a whole lot of things going on tonight that contributed to the unraveling at the end. And I think everybody just needs a little time off, and I think Draymond is especially looking forward to it this season. And they'll be refreshed coming out in a few days.
Dubs OT continues right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Remember when we talked about Kevin Durant last week? He went off on the media and everything, and you wondered, how would he react to that? Well, to me, it seems like it's been a positive for him. He is just making everything. In most of these games, he's shooting around 60 to 65% as far as field goals. He's hitting all kinds of different shots, all different angles, and I mean, I have no idea if what happened, you know, fired him up even more, but he is really on top of his game right now. And it's almost like he's unstoppable. I know the whole team ran out of gas there in the fourth quarter. And maybe Durant, you could throw him into that category as well. But I just think overall, man, is he playing great basketball.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he got something off his chest last week, and it's kind of a relief or a release for him, whatever the case may be. You know, it's to me, it only got people to focus more on what's going on and what's going to happen in the offseason. And, you know, then he goes out and he's got this ESPN show now, right? And ESPN is posting photos of what he would look like in a Knicks uniform with Kyrie and maybe Zion Williamson. You know, so it's not going to stop the speculation about that. And he's going to use the media. And I think that's part of the message, too, is in players like him who are so prominent, they want to control the message. And I think that's part of what ticked him off about what happened last week is he wasn't able to control that message that's getting out there. And he wanted to try to put a kibosh on that and get the focus back to where he wants to be, whether it's his brand or what he's doing off the court, or the fact that when he's with the Warriors, all he wants to focus on is playing ball. Hey, you know, whatever works. Like I said, it's a players' league. Hopefully this is going to blow over like the Draymond thing did, but I'm just saying that that outburst last week, at least initially, didn't help him. But, you know, maybe in a way it did because, like I said, he got something off his chest, and now he's kind of in that mode of, all right, I'm just going to show everybody why I should be appreciated. If he's not appreciated already, I appreciate him. I appreciate the hell out of him on the court. I just think he's such a unique and incredibly talented player. And, you know, you look at a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who's about the same height, but a totally different player. And you see how rare it is for a guy that tall to be that agile, that quick, that nimble, and with that much shooting range and that much of an assortment of shots. He really is a quantum leap as far as an NBA player. So I think he's in the mode now. When I'm here, I'm going to focus on ball. We're going to talk about ball. I'm going to try to get another ring. My advice to KD is don't go to New York. You got James Dolan there. Just stay here and put up with whatever you got to put up with because it's going to look like, oh, yeah, you just came here to chase rings and now you're going to be off to do your own thing and you know, get your own way. And it's going to make him. It's going to feed into the selfish narrative, like he cares about that. But I'm just going to tell you that's what's going to happen. Whereas he could stay here, and okay, maybe he'll still be the number two guy with Steph being number one. But so what? He can keep collecting rings, and that would further justify his move to come out west. That it was about winning. But whether he stays where he goes. To me, his place in Warriors history is going to be cemented with another ring.
Oh, absolutely. To win three in 3 years. I mean, yeah, that's pretty remarkable. By the way, I'm sure you heard about that story with the Knicks and their season ticket holders getting that photo that included Kevin Durant. And oh, my gosh. I mean, I can understand if you're trying to sell season tickets and you're plugging the teams that, you know, the Knicks are going to be playing for next year. But this was no just coincidence that Durant is in the photo. This is because you're saying he's going to be playing for us next year. And I just can't even believe they even attempted to do that. Eventually, it was pulled from what they were doing as far as advertising their season tickets. But, I mean, the Knicks, I mean, that's really a low blow, isn't it?
Well, that just shows you they're the Knicks. This is what you deal with this grabastic, disorganized franchise. I mean, they're just... It's been the case ever since Dolan's been the owner there, and even before that. You know, what's the advertising ploy here? Hey, he might be with us next year, so be in on the ground floor. Of course, you might be disappointed. I think the NBA should slap him with a big fine for that because that is false advertising. But, of course, they won't because they love the chatter.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that'd be like the Giants right now putting Bryce Harper on their season ticket brochure. I mean, and then he doesn't sign with them. But yeah, let's just put it out there, you know, in our brochure that, Bryce Harper is going to be on the team, even though we're not even close to signing him.
Yeah, what they had to do is they had to put him in there with the generic hat that's blacked out, you know, like they used to do on the baseball cards when a player was traded in the offseason.
Right.
You know.
So,
eventually they can just pull the picture. But you know, just keep it there for now. Yeah, it's pretty much like that. And by the way, I can't control the overwhelming feeling that they're going to be left not holding the rose once again. I hope I'm wrong.
All right, so it's All-Star Weekend coming up. You got Team LeBron against Team Giannis. And Team LeBron, I mean, they're just loaded. I mean, of course, Steph Curry's playing for Team Giannis there in Charlotte, and then he's going to have the hometown crowd behind him. That'll be fun. But as you said before, you're more into the day before. I mean, you like the dunk contest, the three-point shooting, right?
Yeah, I always watch those. To me, that's the most fun part of the weekend. But you know, seeing Steph play in his town he grew up in, where his dad was a star player, I think that'll be fun. I'll definitely be watching those minutes when Steph's on the court. The rest I could do without. You know, maybe just to see how Steph plays with a Greek freak in case they're ever together. That could be tantalizing. But beyond that, no, I'm not real interested in the game itself. But it definitely has a little more kick to it this year.
No defense, that's the thing. I mean, there's just never any defense in these games. There's no incentive to play defense.
Well, there isn't, but I will say they actually did for stretches in last year's game. It wasn't too bad that way. So instead of being, you know, 170 to 160, what was it, 140 to 130 or 130 to 120? It was almost like, you know, an average game in the NBA now, where the scoring has gone up so much anyway. But, yeah, by and large, it's a circus.
Yeah, basically the LeBron team is the team that LeBron wants in L.A. He wants Durant.
Yeah.
He wants, what, Irving, Leonard, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden. Those are all his guys. So he's trying to recruit one of them or maybe, you know, multiple players to L.A.
Yeah, wasn't Giannis asking, isn't that tampering? I mean, hey, give LeBron credit. He's playing the long game. Maybe one of those guys will show up with him next year. Although the way things are going in L.A., there's a stench around that club now.
And by the way, I'm going to take Seth Curry in the three-point shooting contest. I mean, he's hot. He's been hitting his threes, and he's been up among the league leaders in three-point shooting. So I'm going with Seth.
Seth was blown by Steph tonight, and you know that was in the fourth quarter when, again, his legs were probably tired. But good for Seth. I got to tell you, Joe, I mean, Seth Curry is one of my favorite stories in the NBA, if not my most favorite story right now, because I saw this guy play in the Vegas League. You know, he's coming out of Duke University, and I mean, it's got to be tough for somebody like that who has a brother like Steph Curry, who's all-world, two-time MVP, one-time unanimous, who's got three rings, who's doing everything in this game that you could accomplish, who's been a part of changing the game and making it so much more watchable and popular. And Seth is just kind of scrapping, you know, to get a foothold in the league. And I saw him in the Vegas Summer League a few years ago, and he looked like a different player. He was the best player. I think he was the MVP that year. He was doing really well, but you say to yourself, okay, that's nice. You know, cool story, Summer League. What does that mean? But I think it meant a lot for a guy like Seth, who wasn't just, you know, Steph's little brother. He was a guy who was trying to make his own way. And showed that he worked really hard, because I remember coming out of Duke, he was, and again, it's tough to compare him to Steph, but he looked a little ponderous. Well, I think he got himself conditioned. He worked hard. He tried to get a little quicker, a little more agile. He did that. The shot's been there. And I think he's always had the confidence in it, and that's pretty much in the genes, isn't it? And now, what, he's second in the NBA in three-point shooting percentage. I think he's ahead of Steve Kerr all time for their career.
I saw that, and right?
Yeah.
Minimum that? 100 shots or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, a little tiny sample size, but hey, you know, you got to go somewhere.
Right.
But good for Seth Curry. He got a foothold in the NBA. He's become a rotational player, part of a good bench with Portland. He's going to be in the playoffs, and he's going to be in this league, and he's going to have a career, and I see him getting better and better. I'm really happy for his success.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a cool story. Well, Ray, look forward to talking to you again next week as the Warriors will be back on the floor at home against Sacramento, and they'll go for the final push here of the regular season.
All right, let's lock it down. In the meantime, I'm going to go play some golf.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.